Welcome to the Soccer Nomad Podcast. On this episode, Paul Canneville is my guest. Paul, thanks for joining me.
No problem.
Yeah, so for new Chelsea fans, Paul played for Chelsea Football Club in the 1980s, and he's in the States visiting different supporters groups of Chelsea. You've already been to Boston, right?
I have been, yes.
And then where are you going after this?
I'm going on to Dallas from Sunday, and then after that, end off in Houston.
Awesome. So how's your trip been so far?
Excellent. I mean, I started off in St. Lucia with my partner. So I had to leave my partner, make her way home back to England while I made my way here to Boston, which was the first stop. First time I've been in Boston, and great set of fans down there. And the Q&A went so well, which was great. And hopefully that I can return next year.
Yeah, so you talked about the Q&A. So I know today you went to a Boys and Girls Center.
Yes.
And then Saturday you're doing the FA Cup final with the Atlanta Blues.
Watching the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And then after that.
What else are you doing here? How you spend your time?
Yeah, well, given the opportunity, obviously, because we're going with now about my foundation, which is the Paul Canneville Foundation. And obviously what I do with that is regards as motivation or inspiration speaking, and trying to help the young youths and give them a direction, the underachieved and the underprivileged. Try to understand how where dreams do come true and try to make them believe in themselves, to be honest. And I like doing that. I have been doing this since 2004, and I've been given the opportunity to come across various countries. I've been in India, I've been in Australia, Sweden, Germany, and we're here again in America and again in Atlanta, and I enjoy it. Totally.
So motivate to change, is that correct?
Well, motivate to change was my very first website, as well as when I say workshop, to be honest. And it's now from motivate, it's still there, motivate to change, it's now to the Paul Canneville Foundation, which is now a registered charity. So there was a difference, obviously, to connect the two. But as well as that, charity is a case that we can give, that I can give to other charities and to help other essential people of need. And that's what we do. We have trustees behind me, so which I'm quite proud about, because they can give me assistance and a direction as well.
So you go to these, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs or groups. Do you just talk to them about overcoming adversity and pursuing your dreams? Kind of walk me through that.
Well, you said it just there and then. First time we went to this Boys and Girls after school unit. I loved the way it was set up. And went in the age group, I would have thought, well, from 10 to 16. They didn't know what to expect, nor did I. As soon as I came there, I introduced myself, and then I set off from there how it was about me dreaming about being a professional footballer. And then I set back, obviously, about how important of education is, which at the time I didn't take so importantly, when regards to your mum, my parent, was letting me to know that how important it was. I didn't believe I needed it, but I was wrong. And that's the kind of correction I like to share with those. It is important, and I don't want them to fall back on what I did. And they took hold. Right from the staff that was there, they were so moved. They were saying, "My gosh, you really took control, and you had the kids." Because I came in there, they started talking, but they was right engrossed. And that's what I tend to do, and that's what I enjoy. And it kind of helps. Don't get me wrong, how difficult it may be, I can always attend in the text, but go around it and get their attention. And that's what I enjoy doing. I really do. Got a thing about getting their attention. It's a case of very difficult because you don't want to bore them. And it's quite easy that the person is going to talk, or what are you doing? And they'll drop off. No, I switch that around. And then it becomes them asking me questions. And that's the main thing. They need to know exactly what it is. You know what I mean? The answers I give it honestly and straight.
Yeah, what kind of questions did the kids ask you?
Well, today, obviously, how I felt ill. You know, you've read the book on I had drug problem and how what happened with that and where I am at today. My health, what made me want to be a professional footballer. why did I stay at Chelsea when some of the fans was racially abusing me? Various questions like that. So I tell them as it is, and they've gone away with it, and I said, oh, I understand now. It's quite easy to walk away, but when you want to walk away from your dream, why are you going to let somebody spoil that for you?
Yeah. So you made your debut for Chelsea Football Club in April of 1982. Is that right?
Yeah, about
Yeah.
that time. Yeah.
And then you played over 70 times. That sounded all
So
right.
it might be a rumor, but yeah.
So for listeners who might not be familiar with you, how would you describe your play?
Given the opportunity from the late John Neal, rest in peace, I came at a time where it wasn't a very good time because Chelsea was third from the bottom, in the second division, needed to win more remaining games to stay up. But it's like I didn't get straight in, I was playing in reserves, but after 3 months to 4 months, I was called directly into the, well, I say directly, called into the first team. And I knew it was a very hard decision for the manager to make. And you're bringing a young black kid that nobody knows of. You have favourite players out there that's been their history. And a fresh face is coming. And I was given that chance. And I made my debut against Crystal Palace. And phew, what a surprise debut. Because for me, when the manager gave me the opportunity, and as much as it was 10 minutes, at the end of the game, it was a nil-nil against Crystal Palace, I remember. It was nil. Last 10 minutes or 15, he told me to get warmed up. Well, you think in your head, well, what can I do in 15 minutes? But hey, I'm still young and I'm still excited. I'm given a chance. So by the time I started to warm up, that's when the surprise hit me. And when I started to hear this racial abuse being shouted out, I didn't expect it. And thought, wow, how did they allow Crystal Palace fans to be behaving in this behaviour? And then, so be it. To find out when I did turn around after getting a bit angry, it wasn't, it was my own fans, majority of my own fans, that was racially abusing me. That didn't go down too well with me. I was very upset, but as well as that, confidence had dropped. I eventually did get on the pitch. And I remember it so well that I didn't really move from the line. I didn't want to move from the line. So no. The ball came to me, I gave it back. I just wanted to wait for the referee to blow his whistle, which he did. And I ran straight into the change room. Difficult, I could see on my teammates' faces because they could hear what I received. And it wasn't something they could see how I felt for them to be asking how I was. But they were very supportive, no doubt about that. I don't get me wrong, but yes, this is one of something I had to continue. I had to take for nearly 2.5 years before being accepted, and yeah, here we
Yeah,
are.
I mean, in your book, you talk a lot about this, and you're sort of you're an outside mid, and I would say tricky, very direct.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? And
Okay.
eventually, the fans accepted you, and it's a really interesting story about, sort of racism and overcoming adversity, and so anyway, his book is Black and Blue. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but I really encourage you to read it. Like support these days is really different. There's economic factors, there's the all-seater as opposed to the terraces. I mean, what do you have any thoughts about fan support these days?
Totally different, family orientated now, how it was back then. It was mostly males, if I remember it so. But now it is different. It's a family orientated. Your kids are coming with you, your wife's coming with you. The amount of women I see there shouting abuse, you'd be so surprised how football has changed. It's been great, don't get me wrong, of that support. And now you the franchise where support is all up throughout the world. Oh, and I didn't notice at that time when I was playing, but now it is big business. We all know that. Obviously, the players of today and what they earned compared to what I earned back then, but I still never looked at it any different. I was glad to be a professional footballer, and being paid for something I enjoyed. So, yeah, there was a difference. Stadiums looking different. I got to remember when going back, returning back there from 2004, that the stadium was totally all seated, and I, hold on, where's the shed in? It was that concrete. How did they take that down? I was like, what's going on there? And I thought, this is what it is, Paul. I was told, and it was like, wow, this is business.
Yeah.
It's football.
I mean, you mentioned earlier, so when you started, Chelsea were a second division club, which is now the championship. So again, I think, again, recent Chelsea fans have sort of need to get their head around it. You were in the season where they avoided relegation to the third,
We did.
and so, now they're a mega club, Champions League winners,
Yes.
perennial Premier League contenders. Talk about maybe your perception of the club when you were there and maybe what it is now.
It was a, totally, don't get me wrong, same club, Chelsea, but obviously a different time, different era. An exciting time for any young boy who wanted to be a professional footballer back in the 1980s. I think before that, you're playing your, or learning your trade, should I say, with regards to if you're in the reserve or in being drafted into the first team. Traveling away was pretty much the same as I think today, taking the coach, leaving out the Friday and setting up in a hotel like day before and playing your game, which was away on a Saturday, and then returning back. Don't get me wrong, we did a few trips abroad for pre-season and so forth, which is enjoyable. I remember I didn't even have a passport, and that passport was, yeah, sorted out in less than 2 weeks from Chelsea, and it was like my first passport I've ever had in my life. So yeah, today's standard of football, you can see, man, it's they're models, they're similar to pop stars, in the public eye constantly, in the young kids and whoever notices that and sees that. The main difference is, yeah, the money that is, constantly there per player, whether he's bought, whether he's come up through the ranks, that the agents that now are in the game, the male agents that are in the game now, and I didn't have no agent, I didn't know anything about
Yeah.
agent.
Yep.
So yeah, there are a multitude of things that, definitely changed
Yeah.
for the game today.
Yeah, again, you talk about all that in your book about your contract negotiations. I'm putting that in air quotes because you basically said whatever they put in front of you, okay.
Yeah, that was it.
And
I
then
thought it was correct, so what am I gonna argue about? But
yeah, so for
wiser.
some new Chelsea fans, who are some of the big time Chelsea players you played with in your time there?
Oh, I believe that was for me always Pat Nevin when he came along, because as you said, you mentioned as well that time we avoided relegation and we stayed second division, and the next season we bought some new players. Nice, Mickey Thomas, Joey Jones, I said Pat Nevin, Pates, Colin Pates, Joe McLoughlin, with new faces, Kerry Dixon, even David Speedy. And we just formed, and it didn't even take us long, to be honest. The lads just came in together and formed and started winning, games. And it was in that first season that we joined that we got promoted, and it was a great time.
Yeah, so we talked before we recorded. So I started following, soccer in the mid '90s. Who might have been some of the better players that you played against in your time?
I When I did start, it was, I remember, like the John Barnes, Luther Blissey, Kenny Dalglish was still playing, Kenny Sampson, lots of those players, Paul Davies. It's quite, I
You
can't
mentioned in your
believe,
book, you
Kevin
had
Keegan. It's
Viv
quite a few.
Anderson. You had a little
Viv
while.
was at Arsenal, the first England right back. So yeah, to play against those players, and it's just memories that come back. I mean, thinking, wow, I played against these boys. You know what I mean? Which the game has changed, and but these were great players. I mean, but great sides like Man U and Newcastle were big then, with Kevin Keegan and John McDermott. Tottenham, Falcao, Roberts, and Gary Mabbitt, and who's the keeper? Pat Jennings was a keeper who went, was from Tottenham, who went to Arsenal. I remember when we got promotion to Division One, that he was playing in goals. Yeah, that was a great day, making the first game in the Division One, and it was against Arsenal, and I had to be, I was living in East London at the time, so the majority of my mates we're Arsenal fans, and they was giving me some stick, saying, "Yeah, wait till you play us." But since after that game, they totally gave respect to me and my team. So yeah.
Awesome. So let's wrap up with some plugs. Talk about the website, how people can find you on Twitter, that sort of thing.
Definitely. The website is really good. You can check out two of the websites, which is www.paulcannavale.co.uk. And that's a lot of history of me playing back in the day, the Chelsea and the players and where I've been. The foundation, and anybody that would love to donate and help, they can donate. There's a giving page on there, which is www.paulcannavalefoundation, all one word, .com. Please do have a look, and you know what I mean? Please donate. We're having a fun run. It's happening in June the 12th at Battersea Park. And hopefully, I'm going to try and run. If I can't run, I'm going to walk. But you know what I mean? It's all funding to help these kids. That's, you know what I mean, provides us to help them have some workshop for these kids, because it's not easy, and trying to get government money is not very easy as well. So anybody donating anything, would it be a great help, please do. But yeah, that's Twitter. I'm at King Canners. You can find me. Facebook is, I think, the same thing, King Canners as well. Just find me or log on to me and befriend me and whatever. If you look well, I'll sign you. But yeah, any information, please do look on that.
Perfect. So I'll put all that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Paul, we had dinner tonight. I really appreciate you spending taking some time out. I know you have a busy week, and you're wrapping up here in Atlanta, and you're on to your next trip. So I really appreciate you taking a couple minutes to talk to me, and all the best.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Soccer Nomad podcast. Let me know what you think by commenting on the Podomatic page or giving the show a review and rating on iTunes. And help me spread the word by sharing this podcast with a fellow soccer fan. You can follow me on Twitter at AustinLong1974, and please visit my blog, soccernomad.wordpress.com, for posts on kits, memories, and more. Thanks again.